You may be seated. And dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I shared with you last week, we're doing a bit of a sermon series on that 1 Corinthians 13 passage because I don't want it to be just used for weddings anymore. I want us to use it for so many things. It's this wonderful passage all speaking about what love truly is and what it looks like. But yet it was that final verse. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. And so last week we talked about faith, about what God has done for us, about how God reaches out to us to bring us to this thing, this salvation, so that we might know Him, that we might receive all of these wonderful gifts. But now we have come to hope. And it's very important that we understand what hope really means. Because nowadays we kind of use it in exchange for the word wish. Instead of "I wish to get this for my birthday," it's "I hope I get this for my birthday." Instead of "I wish to get a good grade on a test," it's "I hope I get a good grade on a test." Instead of "I wish I get that job," it's "I hope I get that job," right? Because it sounds kind of strange, honestly, for us to say, I hope to get this job. No, that doesn't sound strange, excuse me. "I wish to get this job" sounds strange to our ears, but not hope. Yet when we go to the Hebrew, so you can, you know, put on your scholar caps now, we're going to learn a little bit of Hebrew tonight, that we have this wonderful word, tikvah, which is the word that's used in our Jeremiah lesson for hope. And here in Hebrew, hope is used in exchange for expect. It's a completely different connotation that it carries with it, right? It's no longer, "I wish to get this," "I expect to receive it." It's no longer, "I hope to get that job," "I wish to get that job." It's, "I expect to get that job." Hope in Hebrew is a much more determined word. It's not a maybe, it's an expectation, excuse me. And so the Lord speaking today through Jeremiah says that He knows the plans that He has for us, and the plan is to give us welfare, not evil. Plan to give us a future and an expectation. Change the translation on that word a little bit. That's what God desires to give His people. Not a wish, an expectation. Not a desire for a future welfare. It's an expectation. Plan on it. But yet the people receiving this message in the time of Jeremiah probably expect to receive this a lot sooner than we actually do see it. These people, they all died without having seen the fulfillment of this expectation that God promised to bring them. But we get to see it. We are blessed to be so far in the future to have seen the glory. And at first, it's just an expectation that the people are carrying. And then it might move to a wish, right? As they don't see the fulfillment. It's rather strange, though, for me, after we look at all of these prophetic passages, all these different things saying, "All right, watch out, this guy's coming, pay attention," that they aren't just constantly standing on watch, right? One of the first ones they receive is from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth from me one who is a ruler, the Ancient of Days." This very powerful passage here. And it's a wonder, why aren't people just hanging out in Bethlehem expecting this guy to show up at any moment? And even with that, when Isaiah prophesies in chapter 7 of his book that a virgin will bear a child, it's a wonder why people aren't looking at this girl who is pregnant and thinking, "Well, could this be the one?" And why aren't they looking at all of the lineage of David when we read in 2 Samuel 7 that God promises David's house to be a royal and a forever lineage? We are giving all these prophecies and promises, and what's strange is we don't see the people expecting it to happen. It's just wishful thinking. There's all this expectation that's built into these prophecies. But yet the people are just unaware when Christ is born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary, of a descendant of David's royal lineage. Here he is, the fulfillment of everything, and yet nobody really gets it. How could they not see this? You've been told about it since you were a baby. How do you not expect this? And it's because their hope had changed from expectation to just a wish. But that doesn't change the fact that Christ is here. He is actually here. He is present. He is God in the flesh, in our world. He is active. He is serving. And I love the language of John 3 because it is such definitive language. And you guys, you better start applying to colleges because of all the knowledge I'm giving you. So the Greek here, right, the word used is not for God so loved the world, not that God loved the world so much, but the Greek word is houtos, thusly. God loves the world, period. It is definitive language. And this is the way in which God loves the world. He gives us his son, period. Definitive language. What's amazing is it's no longer expectation. It's no longer wishful thinking. This is definite language that is happening right here. And what is a shame is that we all only ever really hold up verse 16 of John 3. And we don't continue. Because there's profound words as we continue on that whoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. As we look further in the gospel, it is that understanding and expectation that whoever believes in him is not condemned. These are definitive words. There is no vagueness to the statements being made here. And the beginning of this salvation which we receive in God, that is given to us by Christ, that is proclaimed to us by Christ in John 3, it is a fulfillment of all of these expectations, all of these prophecies. The Messiah would be the suffering servant, that he would be pierced on our behalf. And in this, we have hope, we have our expectation, because what we see in Christ is that suffering servant pierced on our behalf. And he's pierced on our behalf for salvation, for redemption, to give us this freedom that we can never experience in any other way. That all of the guilt and shame that you should have because of your sins, it's gone. Because Jesus Christ was pierced on your behalf. Psalm 16 then continues on and tells us that God would not let his Holy One see corruption and will not abandon him to Sheol. And we see this fulfilled in Christ as he rises from the grave. It is always important for us as Christians to remember that any man can die. Many people were crucified, many people were pierced, but only one has risen from the grave. And this is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That it is in this fulfillment there is completion. These are no longer expectations. Salvation is here, right now. And our hope is found in him. Our expectation is found in him. We can expect Jesus to serve us with this salvation as he has promised us in John chapter 3, that it is for salvation and not for condemnation. And in our life together, we live with one another in hope and expectation. That when somebody loses a loved one, you share with them the expectation of Christ's victory over death. That when somebody is just in tears because of their guilt and shame because of their sins, you share with them the victory that you have received and the expectation that you can have as God gives you from John 3 for salvation, not condemnation. It is a hope that we live together in our baptisms. It is a hope that we live together as we celebrate the Lord's body and blood. It is a hope that we live together in this congregation and in the church all over the world. That we know the truth. And that truth, as Christ has said later in the Gospels, has set us free. But we must always remember that there's more to expect from God. We celebrate Advent now, but this Advent that we focus on mainly is a remembrance of the first Advent, that first arrival of Christ into our world. But we must not forget the second Advent, the second arrival of our King, who will come not humbly like he did the first time, but in great power and glory, and what he will do is to take us to perfection. We have received salvation now. We are all very well aware that we still hurt and suffer, that there's still pain out there. But there is a time coming, that second Advent, where we can expect our Lord, our King, our Christ, our Jesus, to come and take us to perfection. There will be the resurrection where all the dead will rise. All the saints of God, as Revelation paints so wonderfully, the saints of God will be gathered around the throne. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.